never again. Two words with a loud meaning when you're aware of their origin. Those two words were spoken in the aftermath of the Holocaust. Here we are almost 80 years now. Israel and the Jewish people continue to be attacked. Anti-Semitism continues to spread its poison. Holocaust denial is held by more people than you'd probably believe. How endangered is the idea of never again? As we approach Yom HaShoah on April 24th, which is the Jewish Day of Holocaust Remembrance, our next guest joins us to tell how voices who lived through the time and facts about this time in history are the armor for never again. He is the director of the Holocaust Education Center, which is a project of Stand With Us. Matt Lebervick, how are you today, Matt?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And I know this is going to be confusing for the listeners, so we'll do some clarification in a bit. StandWithUs.com. Learn more about the work of Stand With Us and the Holocaust Education Center, because I think a great number of people are aware of International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is usually toward the end of January. And Yom HaShoah is different. As I said, this is one that was not just thrown, the Jewish people just didn't throw a dart at the calendar and say this was it. I mean, there were years of debate and discussion as far as the designation of when Yom HaShoah would be celebrated through the Knesset, through Israel government, and many points in between. So there's some power in what is happening starting on the night of April 23rd through the day of April 24th, isn't there?
Yes, it was actually connected to the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, because the largest act of resistance in the Holocaust was when prisoners in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1943 held off the Germans. They had smuggled in enough, you know, guns and explosives and held them off from liquidating the ghetto for 2 months. It was the first time in Europe that a population in a city had fought back against the Nazis. And that Warsaw Ghetto revolt is what the people in Israel wanted to tie Day of the Holocaust, Yom HaShoah, to, because it took place in Passover. So this is a time of year in right now. And a lot of people don't know it, but it's actually timed to that Warsaw Ghetto Revolt to emphasize that theme of, you know, resistance and fighting back, you know, and that, you know, sort of thing.
Found this from the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany. That's an organization which seeks to reclaim property the Nazis stole. They did a multi-nation survey on Holocaust knowledge and awareness, and some of the numbers are pretty frightening and sad. Maybe the most standout one is the question, the Holocaust, and this is for U.S. only. I'm not going to take the entire eight nations that were a part of this, but just in the U.S., the Holocaust is a myth and did not happen. 1% of the people responded agreeing with that statement. Between the 18 and 29-year-olds, that number actually doubled. Now, someone might say, well, that's only 2%. Well, what's 2% of around 35 million people? That's a sizable number who are Holocaust deniers, man. That's not good news.
Oh, it's absolutely appalling, and it's very, very much been growing. October 7th, 2023 in Israel, it was, of course, the largest terrorist attack in the history there, but it also unleashed this wave of Holocaust denial and denial about October 7th and Israel's perpetrating a Holocaust on the people of Gaza. And, you know, those numbers are even much higher than a lot of, when you look at state by state, you know, the awareness of what, you know, and what the Holocaust was, they're very low. Even with states that have these mandates that they have to teach the Holocaust, we find out that, you know, there's no resources behind the mandates or any specific directives. So what my center is very much plugging in these gaps. I look at us as first aid, you know, via Zoom and in person. We're bringing our seminars to these schools that the teachers are they're very much of goodwill, and they're very happy to bring us in, you know, and we don't, you know, charge anything. And but it's a resources issue. You know, you can't always afford to take students to a museum. Teachers don't always have time to be trained in Holocaust education. So that's, you know, we just need more educators, in my opinion.
And certainly the tools to do it. This is, you know, we see a great deal of growth in alternative education, charter schools, homeschooling. That's also a place where your services, your programs, your information can play a role in the teaching if a school is in a place where Holocaust teaching is not mandated.
Yeah. No, there's lots of opportunities. We partnered with there's a charter school serving Black students in Philadelphia, for example. We partnered with schools of all kinds of demographics on very tailored content entering the Holocaust through different points because it can be entered. Of course, it's a Jewish story, but you know, for example, when I talk to these young Black scholars at this leadership academy, you want to begin in Namibia. You want to begin with Germany's genocide that they committed in Namibia. You know, two decades before the Holocaust, and show those photos and explain their genocidal worldview, and then introduce eugenics and Jim Crow and Manifest Destiny. And it's, you know, of course, for me as a grandson of survivors, it's a Jewish story. However, we need to frame it and deliver it in ways that resonate with we need to do a better job of this, you know, raise it, resonate with all kinds of American students.
So Matt Lebovic, who is the director of the Holocaust Education Center, a project of Stand With Us, standwithus.com, the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. That's one of my biggest fears, Matt. I mean, I've been blessed to talk with several Holocaust survivors. They're in their 80s, their 90s, approaching 100 years old. What will happen when those voices go away if their voices are not preserved in any way, not just any way, but every way possible, because their voice is the truth, the undeniable truth?
It is very frightening because we're seeing this surge in denial and distortion and inversion of the Holocaust, you know, politicization of the Holocaust, and we're having literally the last few years in which people will be alive to bear witness. So that's one of my most interesting topics that I like to report on, which I do freelance for the Times of Israel. It's how people are bringing this forward. And you see many kinds of efforts with, interactive holograms and artificial intelligence. You know, you're seeing a lot with, headsets, you know, of virtual reality and 3D touring Auschwitz. Like you see many kind of efforts and projects, but none of them will ever compare to an actual survivor. So I'm sort of like looking myself and and writing about all these different projects, but asking myself that same question you just asked me, and I don't have it quite answered yet. I will say I am very impressed and heartened by the number of people and projects there are, because not everything makes, you know, the New York Times or CNN. There are many projects and people spending their retirement or like as a startup job, like doing Holocaust memory work, you know, all over the country at different levels. And that will be the future. I think it's what there's metaphors, you know, 1,000 seeds or something. Like it needs to be cultivation of all of these people, and, you know, not just one museum or, you know, one sort of place.
And while that is all certainly necessary and great to have for the preservation of the truth, you have what just happened with the U.S. military. The Navy Library was ordered by the Defense Secretary to remove books. I have the list. I'm not going to go through the whole list. Actually, I'm going to post this on our download page on our website because the list is sizable. But here's just a few examples that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth ordered the U.S. Naval Library not to put aside for requested reading to prevent any access to. Memorializing the Holocaust, Legacy of Hate, let's see here, Hate on the Net, Censoring Racial Ridicule, Blood in Politics, The History of White Nationalist Movement, and what's another one here, American Hate, Survivors Speak Out. The Navy, the U.S. Navy, doesn't want their members, their enlisted, to read that. That says so much, and none of it is right.
It's very disturbing and strange because I know that in past years, different branches of, you know, the armed forces have had trainings from organizations like Facing History and Ourselves and the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. You know, my understanding was there was deep respect for this history and kind of integration of the ethos. Certainly, I know a lot of police departments actually are trained by ADL chapters in things like the Holocaust education. So, you know, yeah, to hear that these books are pulled from the library of this prestigious branch, you know, of the Navy is it's strange and disturbing is all I could say, because it's not politicized. It's not politicized. The Holocaust, this history is not political. It is what it is. It happened. So I don't understand it.
So again, going back to what you're presenting and making available through free in-person Zoom seminars for students and anyone just seeking understanding rebirth marking 80 years since the defeat of Nazi Germany, Yom HaShoah 2025. What are a couple of the elements of this program that you're making available for everyone who wants to learn reality and share it with others, more importantly?
Well, the good news is we have so many dozens of what I call memory workers, artists, and filmmakers that we have available relationships with them. They'll actually, meet for Zoom with our community or class for free. Of our seminars, teachers really like this, a seminar we have called Mass Movements, where we talk a lot about the propaganda and the indoctrination. There's a lot of fascination. And I think that's appropriate and good if we're teaching adolescents to talk about the Nazi propaganda and indoctrination and how that led to the Holocaust a few years later. So there's sort of ones that get requested, more than, and another one is Behind the Swastika, which taps at what I was mentioning before about framing the Holocaust in a larger global story. And a lot of people, for example, aren't aware that the first people murdered in gas chambers, by the Nazis, were the disabled, the mentally and physically disabled, 100,000 of them, through the T4 action. And I know you've heard of it, perhaps some listeners haven't, but the T4 action, those same men who ran it at the five killing centers in Austria and Germany, that men and that technology of gas chambers and crematoria was moved east to open up the Holocaust death camps of Sobibor, Treblinka, and Belzec, which I'm sure some people have heard of those. So, but it began with the disabled. So I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but when I explain to students the totality of their, and there's many other groups, and I can't get into them all here in the limited time we have. I've talked about now the genocide in Namibia, and their forced euthanasia program, as they call it, the disabled. There's many entry points to get students to see this pure evil, and it's not political. I mean, it's telling them what happened.
And it's fact. It's history. That's what history is supposed to be. It's supposed to be the truth that we learn from, so that history that is hard and toxic and poisonous can never, ever be allowed to happen again. Yeah. Thereby goes the two words, never again. They're easy to say, easy to remember, but can you live them? Can you take action off of them? Well, that's the empowerment you get through the programs from the Holocaust Education Center, Project of Stand With Us. Find out more and get the information, embrace it, share it, learn from it, and be faithful to it at standwithus.com. He is the director of the Holocaust Education Center, Matt Lebovic. Matt, you guys make a difference because you combat the darkness that so many try to spread, and you bring light, the light of truth, into what we need to know, need to respond to, and I thank you for doing that, for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.